Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Well, God is an awesome God. God, thank you. God is an awesome God. I want to move into the subject of prayer. This is where we've been for the last few weeks, subject of prayer. And today I want to talk to you about praying from the throne room. By the way, there's a good book Barbara Martin wrote about the throne room. I'd encourage you to get that in the bookstore. Barbara's right here. She's the author, and she attends our church, Mighty Woman of God, and her books are there. They're really great books, so I encourage you, especially the one about the throne room. Today, I hope to change your way of thinking about prayer. This is going to enhance your prayer life. We're talking about praying from the throne room of God. You know, when the disciples walked with Jesus for 3.5 years on the earth, the most thing that they were impressed with, not were the miracles and signs and wonders, they were impressed by his prayer life. I mean, think about it. They saw Jesus. They actually saw Jesus. Times they saw him pray, talking to the Father. And they didn't see anything. They didn't see the Father. And they see Jesus, Son of God, talking to the Father, who's invisible. One moment he's talking to the Father, and then next moment he's talking to them. Like he said, you know, this. He's talking to the Father, and then the Father, you know, spoke back into his heart. And the next moment, Jesus would be talking to the people. And they wonder, how does he do that? I mean, how does he do this? And so Jesus would pray publicly, and they were awed by that. They were awestruck by Jesus' prayer life. And they also noticed that Jesus often withdrew himself into the wilderness and pray. We see that in Luke 5:16. This was his common, he would pray privately. But he also prayed publicly. He prayed in front of people. It wasn't something he just kept to the closet. And so of all the things they could have asked Jesus for, they said, would you teach us how to pray? That's what we want to learn. We want to learn to pray like you pray. We know religious praying. We've had the Pharisees and our religious leaders teach us the religious way. But we want to know how to pray like you pray. Because you obviously have some kind of deeper connection with the Father, and we want to know how to pray like that. And so Jesus said to them, he said, okay, he didn't go into a parable mode like often he would say, okay, well, it's like this. Or he didn't give some riddle that they'd have to figure out. He answered very directly to them. In the Greek, it's only 56 words, what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer in the Greek. 60-something words in English, depending on the version of the Bible you use. But Jesus just got very direct. He said, okay, when you pray, say this. Now, he never intended for this prayer to be a religious thing.
That's right.
You can pray this prayer in about 20 seconds. He never intended for us to just use this as a prayer to pray, to be religious. It's called a model prayer. He said, when you pray, here's the things you need to cover. Say this. And then he gives there's about 6 or 7 demarcations in there of areas to cover. And they all begin with first focus on God. Know who you're talking to.
Yes, yes.
Don't just pray to pray. Pray to our Father. Pray to our Father. That was a huge revelation. The Jewish people knew from even the time of Moses, when God sent Moses into Pharaoh to talk to Pharaoh, and he told them, you tell Pharaoh that I said, Israel, they are my children. They are my firstborn, he says, and you tell them to let them go so they can worship me, or else I'll take your firstborn. That's what Moses told Pharaoh. They are my children. So Israel knew in some way they had a relationship with God, that he was their father in the sense they were the children. and he was the Father. And he was going to deliver them from slavery. But when Jesus said, call God our Father, you personally, not just corporately as Israel, but you personally, when you pray, know who you're talking to. You're talking to your Father, your Abba. This was a more intimate term. This was a much deeper personal relationship. You call God Father. You don't call him Creator. You don't call him one of his titles. No, you call him Father. That's how you approach him. If you pray, pray like this, our Father. Amen. And then you got to have the right picture in your mind of the Father. What is the Father truly like? And so Jesus gives this model prayer. It's very important that when he gave them this model prayer in Luke 11 and also Matthew 6, that you don't become religious when you pray. If you get religious in your prayer life, it'll kill your relationship with God. God is not interested in your religious acts. And people sometimes when they pray, they turn into religious mode. God's not interested. He wants you to be yourself. So don't get religious when you pray. Just be real. Come before. He's my Father. My Father, the one who created me, the one who knows me, the one who ran after me when I was astray, the one who knows everything about me, the thoughts and intentions of my heart, the one who has a burning passion for me, the one who never gave up on me, the one who has plans for my life. Amen. So you approach God through prayer. Prayer is so powerful. Amen. And we'll see a little bit more about that later, but it is so powerful. But you start out by encountering God himself, the King of the universe, the one who's omniscient, he knows everything, the one who's omnipotent, he has all power, he created everything, and the one who's omnipresent. He's as much present here as he is in China at this very moment. He's in heaven, but he's also here. This is a mysterious, wonder-working, powerful God, creator, author, and finisher of our faith. This is who we're talking to. So when we pray, don't treat it casually. Know who you're talking to. You're to encounter God as your Father. Come to your Father. Jesus said, when you pray, say this, our Father. Think about that. Think about who you're talking to. And many of us here need a revelation of God. Maybe you suffer from some father wound. Maybe your earthly father wasn't a good father. And so that idea when you call God Father just kind of conjures up and stirs up some bad feelings, emotions, because you were abused. Maybe you were molested. Maybe you weren't treated right by an earthly father. Well, God is nothing like that. Amen. But he's the Father. He wants you to come to him as Father. And we need a revelation of the Father, a true revelation, because many people have a false revelation. That's why they don't bother praying. You wouldn't want to talk to somebody you don't want to be around or somebody you're afraid of. But Jesus said, when you pray, go to him like this, our Father. That's the language the Father wants to hear from your heart. Moses needed a revelation of glory. Moses walked with God and heard the voice of God and saw miracle signs and wonders. Yet he needed a real revelation of God. And one day, Moses in Exodus 33 said, would you just show me your glory? That was a bold request. And so Moses said, just show me your glory. And God said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you my glory. But to do that, I'm going to have to put you over here in this behind this rock. And you're going to have to be here because my glory, when it comes, it would absolutely melt you down to nothing. My glory is going to come. You're going to experience my glory, Moses. But come over here. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And in addition to that, I myself, because I love you, I'm going to cover you with my hand so that you're not vaporized. Now you imagine the feelings that Moses started to say, now wait a minute, I don't know if I really want what you just, but he did. He wanted, I've got to know you, God. What you really are like. I've got to know you more. show me your glory. You're the invisible God. I've seen your miracle signs and wonders, but God, show me your glory. So he puts Moses in this place. And it says that in the scriptures, it goes on to say in Exodus 33:14, if you can bring that up on the screen for me, God, please show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'll make all my goodness, all of it, all my goodness pass before you. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I'm going to be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I'm going to be merciful. But you won't see my face, Moses. You will see my back. You won't see my what? God said. But you'll see my back. You'll see my what? I want to make sure you get this. Go back to that scripture, please. Go back to that scripture. But my face may not be seen. So here's Moses. Okay, thank you for that scripture. He's in the cleft of the rock. God covers him with his hand, and God passes by and proclaims his name. I can just imagine in my heart what it might have been like. Moses begins to feel the surge of warmness in his body. This is the full goodness of God passing by Moses. He feels a surge of warmth in his body. His eyes puddle with tears, as mine does when the presence of the Lord is being manifested. Just, oh my goodness, the tears just easily come out. And maybe he even vibrated with the glory of God, the magnitude of the glory of God that was passing by. And it must have been like waves of glory that came over as God proclaimed his name over Moses and God proclaimed his goodness over Moses. It was probably like waves that would just like at the beach, a wave would just absolutely cover you. And Moses was overwhelmed by this experience so much that his body shone with light.
Yeah. That's right.
His body radiated with the light of God. He experienced the goodness of God just passing before him. It was so powerful that it left an impact on Moses' body. And God said to Moses, you'll see my back, verse 23, but not my face. Question, why? I want to see your face, God. God said, you'll see my back, but you won't see my face. That can't be seen. Moses had a revelation of God, but he didn't have the full revelation of God. Moses had a revelation of God, but he didn't have the full revelation of God. It wasn't time, and Moses wasn't ready for it, and it wasn't time for the full revelation of God to come. Thousands of years later, Paul wrote this, Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law. Moses' revelation of God was the law of God, the Ten Commandments and the laws of God. That was Moses' revelation. But that was not the full revelation of God. Are you understanding?
Thank you, Lord.
We're going somewhere quickly, so hang on. Romans, Paul said, Christ is the end of the law. Moses saw the backside of God. He didn't see the face of God. The law was not fulfilled by any man. No man fulfilled it. No man could say, I've finished all the law, not one man. But Christ is the end of the law, or the fulfillment of the law. Christ came and fulfilled the law. Now the law can be closed. It's fulfilled, not by everybody, but by one. Christ is the end of the law. That was Paul's revelation. And then in John chapter 1, when Jesus came, John chapter 1, verse 17, it says very clearly the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only Son who's at the Father's right hand has made him known. Now let's put it this way. The law, the revelation Moses had, only revealed the backside of God. Jesus reveals the face of God. Woo! Now you have the full revelation. Now you have it all. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, and he's the face of God, the full revelation of God. Moses didn't see the face. He only saw the backside, the spine, the backbone. God's law is perfect. God's law is what converts the sinner and realize I can't keep the law. And Jesus is the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law. So the law revealed the backside, but Jesus revealed the face. Now, we know this now in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all, because we continue to behold the glory of the Lord, who is Jesus. Now we behold the glory of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord is Jesus, the fulfillment of the law. With unveiled faces, as in a mirror, are constantly being transfigured into his very same image, ever-increasing splendor from glory to glory. And this comes from the Lord, who's the Spirit. What's that saying? It's saying that what you worship is what you become like. If you worship Jesus, you'll become like him. If you'll behold him. If you encounter him. So Jesus is saying, when you pray, make sure you know who you're talking to. Encounter him, God, as the Father. God, you're my Father. I have the full revelation of you in Jesus. So I know who I'm talking about. I know who I'm encountering. And every time I come into the awareness of his presence by just stepping in, our Father, I'm in his presence. And in that time, in his presence, with this revelation, I receive glory. The glory is the revelation of Jesus. I learn about him, that he's greater than I thought he was. He's smarter than I thought he was. He's more loving than I thought he was. He's more forgiving than I thought he was. He's more merciful than I thought he was. In every encounter with God, I'm getting changed. Once I have that revelation, that encounter of him, I'm getting changed from glory to glory, glory to glory. I'm not fully there yet, but I'm going from glory to glory. And every Sunday we come in here, I'm trusting that you're getting changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. And we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And we're not down there where we started a long time ago. We're up here by now because we're moving. We're going somewhere. We're growing, maturing, and we're becoming more like him because we behold him. So when you pray, it just starts when you pray. When you pray, the first two words are talking about an encounter with God. Know who you're talking to. Don't do it religiously. You won't get anything out of it. God hates that stuff. He wants you to be real. You're coming before your Father who knows everything about you and loves you with a passionate love. Prayer is powerful. Not religious prayer. Real prayer. Our Father. He told me to call him that. My Papa, I come to you. So we encounter a person, but not only we encounter a person, the very first line, the invocation of this model prayer that Jesus said, now take this and use this as a model, like a model home. If you bought a model home, you would go in and it's got everything, the furniture here and some flowers here and this and that, and it looks like beautiful, but it's not yours yet. But once you buy it, you go in and then you move your stuff in and you move some things around because your tastes are a little different from the one who modeled that home. And this prayer is just to be a model home. It's to give you a model to start with. Now you personalize it out of your own encounter with God. You don't copy somebody else. You pray, our Father, what does that mean to you? And then you encounter a place. Prayer is meant for you to not only encounter a person, but prayer is meant for you to encounter a place called heaven. You encounter heaven when you pray. There's so much unbelief going up in the room right now when I say that, because you don't understand. When you pray, you are to encounter heaven while you're here. Our Father, which art in heaven. You're on earth, but you're talking to the Father who is in heaven. You're to encounter a place, not only a person, but you're to encounter a place. Let me prove it to you. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 says, seek those things above where Christ sit at the right hand of God. Seek those things where Christ is sitting right now. Seek that place. Set your mind. Everybody say your mind. On the, not here. Set your mind. Set it there. I set this book, I set it someplace. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:8. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "Do not look at the things which are seen." That's what we're looking at right now. "But look at things which are not seen." How can you see things that are not seen? By faith. By faith we see. Because God said, He showed us things in His Word. We take His Word and we pray His Word. He showed us things that are true in His Word that we don't see in the physical, but He says are there, and we see by faith. By faith we see heaven. By faith we see God. It's by faith. For the things that are seen are temporary. This building, these chairs, all this stuff here is just temporary. But the things you can't see are eternal. Now, we're about to jump off the deep end of the pool. If you can't swim, stay close to somebody who can. Okay? Because we all get to go. We can all go to the deep end of the pool. So if you can't swim, grab a hold of somebody and say, "Would you just make sure I don't go down?" All right, here we go. We're going to jump off the deep end. Are you ready? You ready? Book of Revelation, chapter 3. The last days church. There's seven churches mentioned. The last church in Revelation 3 is the last days church. Guess who that is? Hi there. I'm talking to it. We are the last days church. Jesus appears to the last days church and He speaks to it. He brings correction to it. How many of you know we need correction? And He brings a word to the church that brings life back into it if we'll receive the word. And Jesus says to the last days church, you could just say, Jesus is saying to me, this is His living word. It's a right now word. It's not a dead word. It wasn't a word that was 2,000 years ago. It's a right now word. And He says to the church today, listen, I'm talking to you, to me. He says, I counsel you to buy gold from me. I counsel you to buy gold from me refined by the fire. Lord, You're telling me, You're counseling me by the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter. You're telling me that I need to buy gold from You. And He says, this gold from me, refined, also includes white garments. It also includes eye salve. I want You to buy this from me. Church, I want You to come and buy this from me, Jesus said, today. What's this gold? God's gold is an abundance. It represents you have everything you need for life and godliness now in this life. You don't beg God for it. You believe you already have it. Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life, not that you one day will have it. I came to give it to you. And His gold is what He values. I came to give you abundant life right now. Right now. Abundance. You have abundance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Amen. You either believe that. If you don't believe that, you're in unbelief and you're in doubt. Amen. Now, I'm not just talking about material goods. That's part of it, but that's not the whole thing of it. Everything you need to live a successful life here and now, to overcome whatever it is you got to overcome, has already been provided. Amen. Abundance. Thank you, Lord. And then He says, I want you to get this gold. I'm counseling you. Come buy this gold from me. And also, in addition to that, get a white garment that'll cover your nakedness and your shame. The things you're ashamed of, the things you wouldn't want the church to know, the things that you've done, the things that you've done secretly, all those things that bring shame and embarrassment and humiliation to your life. Come and get a white garment from me and be dressed so your nakedness no longer shows. Come get this from me. Hey, I want you to get assurance of the forgiveness of your sins, that you truly are forgiven when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You truly are forgiven. It's a false doctrine that's going out in the world today, even among the churches, that says that, man, if you don't confess every single sin, then you're going to hell. Well, who remembers every single sin? That's a lie from the pit of hell. And it's keeping you from assurance that God says, I want you, I'm counseling you, church. Get out of that false doctrine. Get out of that religious teaching and come to me. I'm the one. I'll give you gold refined in the fire. You'll never lack with me. Everything I call you to do, I equip you for. I give you in abundance. And also have assurance your sins are forgiven. Because how can you live confidently? How can you witness boldly if you kind of think, well, you remember all your sins? I counsel you, church, come to me and buy this gold abundance and take this assurance. All sin is forgiven. I've removed it as far as the east is from the west. I'll never condemn you. I'll never bring up the past. If you're hearing voices that tell you about the guilt of your past and the shame of your sin, it's not coming from God. You're listening to a wrong voice. That condemning voice is coming from the accuser of the brethren called Satan. And you need to tell him, shut up. I bought something today by believing God's word, and I am dressed in white. My nakedness is covered. My sins are covered. What I did back then, yes, was wrong, but it's gone. It's covered, and it's not to be exposed anymore. Get out of here. You tell him that. And then here's the best part to me. You need some eye salve. What? You need some eye salve because you're not seeing clearly what I want you to see. So you need some eye salve. An awareness of the spiritual life, because you're living as if this is all there is. I believe in what I can see, taste, touch, and feel. I believe in but I don't believe in what I can't see. You need your eyes covered with some eye salve. And so I can visualize getting this eye salve from the Lord. Thank you, God. I've already done this in my prayer life. I took the eye salve by faith. Thank you, God. I put it on my eyes. And it burns. Woo! I said, Lord, that's burning. It's burning. He says, yeah, I know. Because my eyes are like fire too. It burns, but the burning will go away. And then you'll see clearly. And you'll begin to see things in the spirit that you didn't pick up on before. My church needs to come to me. I'm counseling them today through Pastor Gary preaching through the Church of Grace Tabernacle. I'm counseling you, Church of the Last Days. Do this. I counsel you. Buy gold from me. Let's be more specific about that gold. Job had to go through a lot of stuff. It was necessary for him to get a true revelation of what God's really like. And he got angry at God, and there's probably here today some people that are angry at God because God didn't do what you thought he should do. God didn't stop some things from happening that you thought were tragic and he should stop, and you're angry at God. Job got angry at God. He didn't have a full revelation of God that we have available. And so the Lord dealt with Job, and he went through so much stuff. And in the end, this is a powerful statement from one of his friends who was counseling him. One of his friends said to Job, and this is truth, what he told him. He said, Job, you need to encounter God so that you come to the point where you will lay your gold in the dust, and then the Almighty will become your gold. My gold is this, what I value. Well, I value money. Oh, God, give me more money, give me more money, give me more money. You know, or I value health or this or that, whatever it may be. I value promotion. I value whatever it may be. That's the gold that's just temporarily down here on the earth. It's not the Almighty's gold. Job got to the point, he said, he realized once his eyes were open and he saw God as he really was, he said, I repent in dust and ashes. I have spoken where I should have kept my mouth shut. I don't know anything, God, but I want to know you. And Job had to lay his gold in the dust in order to get the Almighty is my gold. God is my gold. That's all I need. I don't need anybody or anything else from anybody. All I want is Him. He is my gold. The Almighty is my gold. And when you can get to the place in your life where you truly mean that, and you say it with deep conviction in your heart that you want nothing else but encounter with Him and revelation from Him. And like David, you can finally say in Psalm 27, one thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing, everybody, I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. That's the one thing I want above any request I could ever have coming out of my life. I want You, God, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, just be in Your presence, beholding Your beauty. That's all I want. You see, so much of the church is chasing after other things. The Almighty is not their gold. Something else is their gold. Their career, their promotion, fix my marriage, fix my kids. And those are all important things, don't get me wrong. But until you replace your gold so that the Almighty becomes your gold, why would God give you something that would replace Him and become an idol? The Almighty has to become your goal. I want You above anything else, God. If I never get another answer to prayer, if I never get another thing, I want You. I want You to have all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to be a lover of God. The main thing. I'll put my gold in the dirt. Forget all those stupid baby requests I've had of You. You know, back when we used to pray, God, if You know, if You help me to win the Publisher's Clearing House, I'll give all the money to You. You think God's going to fall for that? Come on. Well, you know, God, if You bless me, I'd do so much good for people. Well, how about starting now with what you have?
Amen. That's right.
And if God wants you to have that, you'll have it. But for most people, it would ruin you. It would ruin you. Oh, and of course, nobody here besides me ever prayed that prayer. I know. I'm the most needy person in this room. God, You know how foolish I have been, can be. But notice, God says, I counsel you. Church, if you could hear one word from the Lord today that is a direct word right from His word to you, He said, I'm counseling you. I'm counseling you, Thomas. I'm counseling you, Mion. Buy gold from Me. Make Me the priority. Make Me the number one thing you go after. Make Me the one you seek after above your other gold things. Make it Me. And I'll give you a bunch more. You'll be dressed in white. And I'll give you some eye salve so you can see from this day forward differently than what you've seen. And then notice this. This is Jesus speaking to the church, the last day's church. He noticed, He says two words, after this. There are some things that don't come from God until after something takes place in your heart first. After this. There are some trials you're going to have to go through to discover what God's really like. Because the revelation you have right now is inferior to where He's wanting to take you. So there's some things you're going to have to go through. And as you go through it, it's a necessary trial. Don't doubt that God is working. Amen. Well, nothing changed. We prayed and nothing changed. Don't go there.
No.
Just because you don't see it from Earth's perspective. So after the change took place in the last day's church, and they got counseled and they received the counsel of the Lord, and they made these changes in their heart, notice immediately how eager God is willing to give us things and show us things and give us experiences. He says, after this, everybody say, after this.
After this.
I looked. You don't have to repeat that part. After this, I looked. And there was an open door in heaven. Oh my goodness, I never saw that before. There's an open door. It was after the shift and change in their perspective from earth. It was after the shift and the change, after the repentance that came in their heart for seeking wrong things and trying to use God to accomplish their purposes. After this, then he looked and he saw heavens open. Oh my goodness, there's an open door. And what would you do if you saw an open door in heaven? You'd step right in. I want to see more. Show me more. I wouldn't run the other way. No, the dope open doors welcoming. Come on, come on in. And as soon as he does, you hear the voice of God say, this is how anxious God is for you and I to get this. He says, come up here. Come up here, child. I want to show you some things that you can't see down there. Come up here with me. God is so anxious in a good way to want to show you things you do not know. Come up here, church. Let me show you some things. Can you hear the voice of God echoing in your heart right now when God's saying to you, don't stay stagnant where you are. Come up here. Quit being focused down there as if that's all there is, and come up here with me, and I will show you things that you don't know. And immediately, John did that. And he said, there was a throne. Oh my. In heaven, with one, not many, sitting on the throne. Somebody's in charge. We're going someplace that somebody has planned. Everything in life has meaning if you can see in your heart there is one who is in charge and he's on the throne of the universe. You may not understand why things are happening here the way they are right now because you don't have his perspective, but you've got to see there is one who is on the throne.
Amen.
This isn't just circumstance. It's providential. Things are happening. We're going someplace. He says, come up here. I want to show you some things. There was a throne, and in verse 3, he says he saw the one sitting on the throne. And the only way he could try to describe him, he's like. He's like a diamond. The brilliance of light, the many different facets of light are coming off of him. He's like a sardius. He's ruby red, which represents his passion, his love for us. God loves us so much that he would pour out his blood. And then another thing you notice in verse 3, there was a rainbow around this throne. And it wasn't for all the gay people. God wasn't flying the pride flag. He's not against them. He loves everybody. But the rainbow is a sign of covenant. I'm a covenant-keeping God. I keep my word. I remember my word. I don't forget my word. Once I make a covenant with you, it's a done deal. I keep my word. Are you with me? And then he saw in verse 4, 24 elders, and they were sitting on thrones, but not on his throne. They were sitting on sub-thrones. They were 24 elders round with crowns on their head, and they're around him, indicating that God has always intended for the highest of his creation, mankind, to rule with him, under him, through delegated authority. He calls us kings and priests. Kings declare things. Kings decree things and priests declare things. You're forgiven, you're free, you're clean, you're healed. And so he's called us to do that. And these 24 elders are representing the place that God wants us to live from. When we pray, we encounter heaven. We see we're not beggars down here on earth, that we don't have anything. We actually see we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have authority. We have a crown from God. We're under delegated authority as long as we do what he tells us to do. And we rule with him from heaven, not here we rule from. We rule from there, and that rulership there is to make a change down here. When we speak the word of God, when we speak with authority, something happens. When we speak words, we call prayer. Prayer is words. When we speak what God is showing us, I want you to pray this. I want you to pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we speak, something happens and is released from the throne of God to the earth. Every time we pray, the weakest prayer. That's how powerful. He wants us to partner with him. So he sees there are people there. These elders are intended to be the humans, the people that God wants to rule with him. People who pray from the throne room. So when you pray, you encounter a person, but you're also to encounter heaven. You're to visualize and see yourself. I'm in heaven praying from the throne room. I'm in the throne room of God, and I am to pray what God tells me to pray. So often when people think of prayer, they think of lists. You shouldn't think of a list. You should think of a person. You should think of a place. So this is the invocation, the beginning of this prayer. It all starts with getting us in the right perspective and helping us understand our true identity. Encounter a person, encounter a place, our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus said, pray this way. When you pray this way, things will happen.
Amen. That's right.
Not a ritual prayer, not a religious prayer, but from the heart that sees things that you never saw before. And here's the part I've been waiting to get to all week. All week long. This is burning in me. From the throne proceed lightnings, thunders, and voices. Oh my. Lightning, thunders, and voices. Oh my. Lightning, thunder, voices, oh my, from the throne, from God's throne. What in the world is this? I'm glad you asked. Lightning, power, power of God, the dunamis of God, lightning coming from the throne of God. Thunder, shaking. Right now, Lord, would be a great moment for a dramatic act. Would you mind sending some thunder? Shake the building. It'd wake them up. They'd pay attention. They'd think, I know what I'm talking about. Be nice if you'd help me out here. I'd like a little dramatic effect, but help. Thunder. Now, was that a sound effect or was that my unbelief? I don't know. Praise God. Never mind, I don't even want to ask. Thank you, God. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thunder is shaking from the throne of God. When the people of God enter the throne room and they encounter God, a person, who he really is and what he's really like, and they pray from the throne room, realizing we have authority. Our prayers make a difference. Our prayers heal the sick. Our prayers raise the dead. Our prayers make a difference. Our prayers cast out demons. Our prayers have that authority, not because we're somebody all that great, but because of who he is. And he's our Father, and he's given us delegated authority. And so when I pray from the throne room, from God's throne come lightnings, power, thunder, shakings, and voices. Plural. Prophetic voices. The word of God is a prophetic voice. And from his throne, the King of Kings, his voice goes. And his voices come through our voice when we're praying for the sick here at the altar. In the name of Jesus, I declare, by his stripes you're healed. You are healed. In the name of Jesus, I break that stronghold. I cast that lying spirit and the spirit of fear out of you. In the name of Jesus. That's the voices coming from the throne of God through my voice to them. It's bringing lightnings and shakings and voices. Through the vehicle of prayer, through a puny little human, the Almighty chooses to let his voice come through. Through the foolishness of preaching, God's voice is coming into your heart. And his voice, as I'm speaking to you, is speaking into your heart right now, in your soul, in your spirit. There ought to be a shaking going on. God is saying, wake up! You're wasting your life on the wrong gold. Come, I counsel you, buy gold from me, refined in fire, that you may be dressed and your shame be covered and have assurance, and that you may have eye salve and you may see. I counsel you, church. And the shaking should shake you until you wake up. Because you're the last day's church. Every time we pray, something happens. Every time. I'm reminded of a time that Quentin brought a man to church here, and I was, after preaching, I'm usually pretty tired, and so I was ministered to people, prayed and all that, but I was ready to go home, and here comes my friend Quentin, and he brought a man up to me that he met here, and the man had terminal brain cancer. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, terminal brain cancer. Yeah. And he brought him up to me. And I'll be honest with you, my flesh was right away, oh, God, this is a big one. I don't know why I want to pray for that. Let somebody who's strong right now. I'm tired. And I prayed the weakest, wimpiest prayer you probably ever heard. Oh, Lord, by his stripes you're healed. In Jesus' name, amen. And my part, wimpy. And I don't know if it was a week or 2 weeks later or whatever, 1 week. Guy went to the doctor, and the doctor came back and said, you don't have any cancer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking any credit for it, because I saw how weak and wimpy I was and how much unbelief that I had. Even to some degree, I just wanted to go home, selfish. But somehow, lightning, thunder, and voices came from the throne of God into that man's brain. And the cancer vaporized. That's all I know. I'm a simple-minded guy. I don't. That's all I know. Every time we pray, something happens. Prayer activates something in the throne room of heaven of God. From his throne proceed lightnings, thunderings, voices. If you could just imagine that when you're praying for somebody. Lightning's coming. Thunder's coming. The voice is coming. And you prayer folks that come up here at the altar, these are mighty, mighty, mighty women and men of God. Every one of them. I know them personally. When they pray, something happens. And if you could only see in the spirit the anointing that's on them, pray. We wouldn't get out of church here until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because everybody would stay and say, I want every one of you to pray for me. You would jump at that. And not that your prayers aren't effective, but I'm saying there's sometimes there are people that are at a higher spiritual level than we are. They've gone from glory to glory. They're more spiritually mature. They don't have that doubt and unbelief and fear in them. And when they pray, boy, it's just powerful. And you ought to take advantage of that in a moment. Let me land the plane. I'm trying to shorten. Bring the picture up of the Crab Nebula. The Crab Nebula is a constellation. It's in the constellation Taurus in the space. If you look through a telescope, it kind of looks like a smoke ring, maybe. What is actually is, it's called a supernova. A supernova is an exploding star. Exploding star. Now, here's the thing about this Crab Nebula, it's in our universe. It is expanding 70 million miles every single day. Did you catch that? This image you see here is an exploding star. It is expanding right now as I speak at 70 million miles per day. But you can't see any movement. If you took a picture of this 15 years ago, which you can see, it looks the same today. A picture of this exploding star that it's expanding 70 million miles a day right now. 15 years ago, you take a picture of it, it looks exactly the same. This is a picture of prayer. I pray that God will burn this in your retina, so to speak, so you can understand. Huge, explosive, powerful action is taking place right now. But from an earthly perspective, we can't see anything happening. From an earthly perspective, it looks like nothing is changing. This is a picture of prayer. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray. From an earthly perspective, it seems like nothing's changing. Not getting any better. Amen. Nothing's happening. But if we could see from heaven's viewpoint, oh man, that thing's exploding. That thing's changing rapidly every single day. Explosive action is taking place whenever we pray. God has told you, this church, that when you pray, from his throne proceed lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And we sometimes, from a puny perspective of earth, say, nothing happened. I went up and got prayed for, nothing happened. And then you just opened up to unbelief and doubt. Because from your perspective, nothing happened. But from heaven's perspective, there was lightning, there were thunderings, and shakings and voices. Are you with me? Amen. Prayer is the most powerful thing you could ever get from God. Prayer. If you really believe. If you doubt, then you're just going to keep on praying your little religious prayers. But if you really believe this, our Father, which art in heaven, he expects you to go to the throne room and talk to him. Don't stay down here with your earthly perspective, because this is depressing. But step up by faith, enter the throne room, and pray from a heavenly perspective. And say what God is saying. He'll tell you what to pray. He'll tell you what's going on. He'll tell you, I want you to see this. I want your eyes to open up. And I want you to say these things. I want you to believe me for this. And what he says will come to pass. Okay. I'm done. I'm going to ask the altar workers to come up and just be all over the front here. If you're an altar worker, and I've asked you to come up and pray for people, every one of you just come up. Just be available. These are mighty men and women of God. You may know them by the flesh, but you don't know them by the Spirit. In the Spirit, these are kings and priests standing before you. When they decree something, it happens. When they declare something, it happens. Kings and priests of God. And there are probably others out there that you're also part of that. But for today, these are the ones that they're here in the front. One second. Yeah. Well, I want you to realize, take advantage of a moment like this. Don't treat it casual. We have a tendency in church to get casual. Well, it's the same old people up there praying. I've had them pray for me before. You've got to eradicate yourself of fear, doubt, and unbelief. God hears prayer. And he answers prayer. Yes. Would you? Yeah, you got the microphone handy there? Yeah.
I would like to share with you one of my experiences in the throne room. And I was going there one day, and when I, all in the spirit, I walked in and I fell flat on my face. And this wave and wave and wave of light went through me. And it was painful, but it wasn't painful. And it was so powerful and so strong. I said, Lord, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And it just kept going through my body. And then all of a sudden, it was over. And I said, Lord, what was that? And this is what God said. He said, you have become too familiar with me. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord God. I am the creator of the universe. I am the one is in charge. I am all powerful. And I said, I am so sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. And this is what he said. He said, the power you have felt was just a minute thing of my power. And then he continued and he said, but from now on, every time I sent you somewhere, I make that power available to you. When you pray, when you do my bidding. And every time the Lord sends me anywhere, this is what I pray. I said, I will take that power, Lord. And I just wanted to share because everything Pastor Gary said completely goes in line with what I experienced.
Amen. Amen. So don't take this casual. Don't become so familiar with prayer that you think you know. Don't become so familiar with church that you go through the motions. Our Father, which art in heaven. Wow. Step into his presence. Talk to him, but then listen. Listen. If he has anything to say. Would you stand together? As Pam earlier gave also an invitation, and we always do this here. We never assume because people come to church that they're Christians or born again. You may be a believer, but not born again. There needs to be a time in your life where you're born of the Spirit of God, not religious. You can go to church and you can get baptized and never be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. That's a work of God that he does in your heart. And quite honestly, how that happens simply is this. The Bible says in Romans 10, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he's alive right now, and you believe that he died for you in your place upon the cross, and you confess him with your mouth, you say the same thing about him that God the Father says, that Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord, my Savior. God says you'll be saved. So that could be done right now. I want to ask you to bow your head. As I lead you in prayer, you've got to say these words from your heart to God, who hears you, something like this. Oh God, I do believe in you. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross to take all the punishment of my sin. I believe. And right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, you are now my Lord. You are my gold. You are my God. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Fill me with your presence. And give me the courage to let it be known out of my mouth that I belong to you and you belong to me. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, you're born again right now. You ought to activate that by stepping out and come forward and share with me, just like Adam did last week. Another little girl did that last week. Come up here and stand with me and say, Pastor, I just prayed that with you. Praise God. Willie, we'll give you encouragement and prayer. If you need prayer for anything else going on in your life, start making your way up here right now. Even as I'm talking, just come up here and say, I want so-and-so to pray for me. I want somebody to pray for me. Pray for me about this. Nothing's too difficult for the Lord. Nothing's impossible. Maybe you need to pray, God, give me some eye salve on my eyes so change the way I think, change the way I see things. Come on, just This altar ought to be filled with people saying, I believe in prayer. I want prayer. Somebody willing to pray for me? Whew, I want prayer. There's a powerful woman of God, two of them right here. Carol and Alice, oh my goodness. If I want somebody to pray for me, I'd run. I'd run to these people because I know they know how to pray. And from the throne of God come lightnings and thunderings and voices. Miracles happen. Healing happens. Amen. And you visitors, if you're visiting, don't feel shy. Come up. We're here for you. Come on up. Receive prayer. Yeah, come right up here. And people are going to pray for you. I need some more altar workers. I know we have more altar workers than this. Come up and pray. There's my wife's powerful in prayer. Powerful in prayer. Amen. I'm telling you, something's happening from heaven to earth. Won't you make your way right over here? There's a couple right there that's ready to pray for you. Amen. Just when you see somebody open, go up to them and say, pray for me, pray for me. Don't leave without prayer. Something is happening in the spirit. Strongholds are being broken. Even demonized people, demons can be cast out with just a prayer. A prayer of authority. Brian and Carol, would you come up and just be up here to pray? I know you're powerful in prayer. I want you to pray. Pam, would you come up and pray? Pray for this. Strong prophetic anointing on Pam. Just go to any one of these people. Don't wait. Ladies, come on over. Come on over. Receive prayer. Amen. Amen. And we'll get some. I'm just scouring right now looking for strong people of prayer that I know and say, come and pray. 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 And there's Barb out there praying for somebody right now. Praise God. That's awesome. There's Paula right here in the front. She'll be glad to pray with any lady who wants prayer. Come. Amen. Amen. This, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Prayer is powerful. Paula, would you mind to pray with this young lady right here? She's been waiting so graciously. Anybody else? Come on up if you do. We'll get prayer for you. If you're done, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Wednesday night, I'm going to be talking about being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. So I hope you'll join us on Wednesday nights here at 6:30. And hope you'll come back and be with us again, first time folks. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.